Adventures in Research. A man stands before the bar of justice. The charge? Treason. This man has enjoyed the blessing of genius. Now he is suffering from the dangers of wealth. This is the story of the trial of the genius. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of the trial of the genius. The year is 1794 in the blood-borne Republic of France. The reign of terror is on. And before the court, a man with fire in his eye points at the accused and says,
I denounce him to you all. Citizens of France, this is Lavoisier, king of charlatans, companion of tyrants, pupil of scoundrels, master of thieves. Look well at those aristocratic features. Would you believe this publican who boasts an income of 40,000 livres is engaged in a devilish intrigue to get himself elected as administrator of Paris? Instead of electing him to this office, we have to spring him up to the nearest lamppost. Look well upon him, citizens. This is the director of the Academy of Science. Well, it was that we passed a law to close this contemptible organization. It was a defunct repository of royalist thought. And when we had it closed, when we shuttered the doors of this accursed academy, this Lavoisier, the director, objected. Yes, he objected. Objected to a law passed by the directory. That is treason, and treason will all
Citizen Merah, the charge is not treason. The charge against the accused is extortion. Confine yourself to the facts.
Very well. Extortion. This man was a tax collector, claiming as his own the few francs in our pockets. An accursed tax collector who profited from our
speech. As the fiery speech goes on, our glance falls on the accused, a handsome man who scarce listens to his denouncer. This is Antoine Lavoisier. Though the courtroom is packed with bloodthirsty enemies, yet there are a few friends. The elderly man over there was a friend of his father's.
As a lad, he suffered from chronic dyspepsia. And I told him then, I said to him, less work and more exercise. A year longer on earth is worth more than 100 years in the history books. But he didn't believe me. It was then that the famous geologist, Guettard, invited him to collaborate on the mineral atlas of France. It was a rare opportunity for the young man to be with one of France's great intellects.
Oh, Monsieur Guettard, I want you to know how much I appreciate this opportunity. I thank you.
Young man, do not presume. I hired your brain, not you.
His expeditions with Guettard toughened the young Lavoisier. He was up at sunrise checking thermometer, recording the nature of the soil and the contour of the land, visiting mines, ironworks, and quarries, classifying the plants and minerals. And he returned to Paris full of energy and confidence. At the age of 25, he was elected to the Academy of Science, a tremendous honor. And at the end of a year...
Gentlemen of the Academy, I feel it is only fitting that the oldest of us should rise to salute the youngest, Lavoisier. I once said to him that I hired his brains. He not only has brains, but character. In the past year, he has prepared reports for us on such matters as animal magnetism, specific gravity, adulteration of cider, the Parisian water supply, the theory of colors, the extraction of oil from cabbage seeds, the manufacture of starch, the distillation of phosphorus, the composition of nitre, the storage of fresh water in sailing vessels, the removal of stains from silks and woolens, the extraction of gold from the ashes of plants, the nature and the temperature of lava, the removal of obnoxious odors, the manufacture of sugar, the conversion of peat into charcoal, the respiration of insects, the rusting of iron, the composition of powder for fireworks, and hundreds of others which I mentioned.
Lavoisier was the bright new star of science and of France. These scientific investigations were only a part of his duties. The wealthy young man was soon appointed tax collector, then manager of the arsenal. But all this could not keep him from his scientific research. The year was 1739, and chemistry was still an unknown field. Charlatans and cheats hawked their remedies.
Facts, sir! The London Gazette gave him £5,000 for the recipe. They swear it cured the Prime Minister of gallstones. Recipe calls for eggshells, snails, a ball of soap, burdock seed, honey, all of which were...
There were other false ideas and recipes at every turn, and they reached the ears of the alert Lavoisier.
Well, Antoine, what do you make of it?
I do not rely on speculation. I wish to build only on facts.
Well, it is a fact. You can't deny it. Earth is born from water, and he proved it. When the water evaporated from a sealed vessel, there was dust in the bottom of it. Where could it come from except that water turns into earth?
It could have come from erosion of the interior of the vessel. Or perhaps the water itself could have been impure. I will experiment.
Antoine Lavoisier experimented and announced...
Plants are not quantities of water transformed quantities of wood. They are compounds of various substances derived from the water and earth and air on which they feed.
Then Lavoisier experimented with air and laid the foundation stone for the entire structure of modern chemistry.
Air consists of two elastic fluids, one respirable and the other not. The respirable, the vital fluid I call oxygen. It is an element, a substance that chemical analysis cannot resolve into any simpler substance.
Lavoisier published his elementary treatise of chemistry. He listed 33 separate elements and opened a new door into the mysterious laboratory of nature. He lived in his scientific world. His home was his laboratory. And so intrigued was he with the revolutions inside a test tube that he paid small heed to the gathering storm outside. The reign of terror was on, and Lavoisier, the father of chemistry, was unaware of the approaching clouds.
The people are in ferment, Barra, with your newspaper articles and our campaign in the marketplace. A whisper here, a word there. It grows like a match touched to dry wood.
It is good. Revenge is sweet, my friend. It is pleasant to solve one's personal quarrels while serving the Republic. Scoff at Marat, will they?
None scoff, Marat.
No, not now, but before. I am more than a writer, my friend. I am also a scientist. A few years ago, I published a treatise on the nature of fire. An opinion was expressed. Then everyone said my treatise was devoid of merit. They echoed what one man said about it.
Who is the man, Marat? I will settle him.
Antoine Lavoisier.
But not him. The people, we cannot go so far. They will not stand for it. He's the director of the Academy of Science. It had not to do with Louis or the court.
Antoine Lavoisier. He will rue his remarks, my friend. My knowledge of fire is devoid of merit, huh? He shall learn how my fire can burn.
The trial was on. Lavoisier stood before the bar of justice. His accuser, Marat, a former employee.
You saw the ledger in which the accused kept his accounts.
Yes.
And there was a special column for the money he stole, that which he did not give over to the safe.
Yes.
That is all. Your witness, citizen.
Citizen Frank, is it not true that you were dismissed from the employment of Lavoisier because you were forging his name?
I object to that question.
The witness need not answer that.
Is it not true, citizen Frank, that you have been convicted as a thief?
I object.
The witness need not answer that question.
This man has testified against Lavoisier's good name. He has smeared his reputation. Have we no right to find out what manner of man this is whose word we are to take against Lavoisier?
If you have no more questions to ask, the witness is excused.
Came the time for the summing up. Said Marat, the prosecutor,
Lavoisier is a vampire whose accumulation of crimes is so overwhelming as to cry out for vengeance. He has plotted with foreign nations and the enemies of France. He has robbed the poor.
And then, the defense.
With your honor's permission, I should like to call attention to his scientific work. Lavoisier is called the greatest genius of his time. His scientific work alone is...
Citizen, the revolution does not need scientific... It needs justice.
Lavoisier awaited the verdict in his cell. He wrote to his cousin.
I have lived a reasonably long and happy life. I shall be spared the inconvenience of old age, and I shall leave behind me a little knowledge and perhaps a little glory. What more can anyone expect in this world? So, a visitor? Antoine. The verdict has returned.
Death.
Say no more, my friend. You have done all you could.
I'm sorry, Antoine. Truly.
There, my friend. When shall it be?
Monday, the guillotine.
A moment to cut off his head, and perhaps a century before we shall have another like it.
And so, at 51, they put Antoine Lavoisier to the guillotine to serve the vengeance of Charles Marat, and thus passed into history the man who discovered the composition of air, who laid the foundation for the modern study of chemical elements, who founded the science of chemistry, and left one of mankind's great heritages with his adventure in research. And that's his Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to Armed Forces personnel overseas, facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.